Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to sift through the sources you've shared and get to the heart of the matter. Today, it's definitely in the news. We're looking at a headline that's causing quite a stir, especially in Europe, this whole question about a potential Russian invasion. Now look, if you don't know much, or maybe anything at all, about an ancient book called Daniel, that's perfectly okay. That's why we're here. We'll be using a recent analysis piece. It's titled Assessing the Imminence of Russian Invasion of Europe, as our sort of starting point for the current situation. And then we'll bring in another source you sent, The Prophetic Lens, which offers a really fascinating take based on biblical prophecy.
Yeah, exactly. So our mission today is to see how these two, well, very different sources might actually connect. We're digging into whether the geopolitical tensions we see right now, especially concerning Russia, could possibly align with this ancient image, the bear in Daniel chapter 7, at least as the prophetic lens interprets it. We'll look at how certain this source considers the prophecy to be, and maybe ask the big question, could what's happening today be a kind of foreshadowing?
Okay, right. Let's unpack this. Starting with the here and now, the current scene in Europe. This first source, Assessing the Imminence, it paints a pretty nuanced picture, doesn't it? The main takeaway seems to be, okay, a full-on Russian invasion isn't seen as, like, immediately imminent, you know, next week or next month. But, and this is big but, there's this growing alarm, a real sense among experts that the risk of maybe opportunistic aggression or even a larger conflict with NATO is way up, especially looking out, say, 3 to 5 years. The Danish defense minister even put that time frame out there, which definitely signals a shift in thinking. And the article gives reasons for this increased risk, right? It lays out a few key arguments. First, there's this sense of growing Russian belligerence. A clearer intent to challenge the whole European security setup, maybe even test NATO if they sense weakness.
Right, challenging the post-Cold War order.
Exactly. And it's not just talk. The second point is this ramp up in hybrid war stuff, like increased GPS jamming near the Baltics, messing with flights, maybe cyber stuff against infrastructure. It feels systematic.
Mm-hmm. Destabilizing actions that fly under the radar of conventional warfare.
Then third, there are these worries about U.S. policy. You know, questions about troop commitments. Could shifts there make Russia think, aha, an opportunity?
That perception of commitment is definitely crucial.
Fourth is European readiness itself. The article and that Danish minister again basically say Europe isn't ready for a direct fight within that 3-5 year window. A stark warning.
Despite recent spending increases, yeah.
And finally, it points to Russia just not letting up in Ukraine. That big aerial attack mentioned, September 7th, 2025, hitting Kyiv, civilian areas, it shows continued aggression.
Well, what's really striking when you lay it all out like that is how these points together create this picture of real strategic tension, deep uncertainty. You can almost feel the ground shifting, geopolitically speaking. Everyone's reassessing everyone else. It definitely feels like it's setting the stage for, well, for potential big changes in how the world works. It connects the dots between headlines in a way that feels, frankly, a bit unsettling.
Unsettling is a good word. But, okay, the article doesn't just present the alarm bells. It also includes counter-arguments, reasons why maybe a big invasion isn't right around the corner.
Right. It's important to see both sides of the assessment.
Yeah, like the huge toll the Ukraine war has taken on Russia's military, losses in people, mm-hmm. equipment. Has to limit their ability to open another big front, surely. Peter Dickinson at the Atlantic Council even noted their recent offensive showed more vulnerability than maybe Moscow lets on.
Capacity is a major constraint.
Then there's NATO itself. Countries are spending more, boosting defenses. That's a deterrent, right?
A significant deterrent, theoretically.
And the sheer cost for Russia if they attacked NATO, economic, military, political analogy, it would be astronomical. The Quincy Institute analysis touches on that.
The potential costs are immense, yes.
Plus, maybe Russia's main goal right now is just to grind things out in Ukraine, get some kind of favorable outcome there, not start another war elsewhere. One expert even said Russia's military just doesn't have much maneuverability for other fronts at the moment. But, you know, that could change after Ukraine.
So if you step back and look at this chessboard, you see all these moves and countermoves, assessments of strength, of weakness, of intent. It's incredibly complex. The arguments for higher risk versus lower immediate risk really highlight how dynamic it all is, constantly shifting. And that brings us, I think, to a really interesting question. What happens if something totally outside this contemporary analysis, like an ancient text, offers a different lens, a different way to potentially understand where this might all be heading?
Exactly. And this is where, for me, it gets really interesting. We've looked at the modern analysis, the risks, the counter arguments from the Assessing Imminence article. But now let's bring in this other perspective you shared from the prophetic lens. And again, for anyone listening who isn't familiar with the book of Daniel, this source takes what it calls a futurist view. It sees these prophecies as describing events that are still future to us. And it argues Daniel has this built-in prophetic blueprint based on the languages used, a linguistic structure, a chiasm.
That's the core idea, yeah. The prophetic lens suggests the original languages aren't just incidental, they're a deliberate key. So the Aramaic part, that's Daniel 2, verse 4 through chapter 7 Aramaic, was the international language back then. Diplomacy, trade. The argument is its use signals a global system view. So these chapters, according to this source, aren't just about past empires people might have heard of. They're actually laying out the blueprint for a future global political and economic system, the one that will dominate in what it calls the last generation, essentially the components of a final worldwide beast system.
Okay, a global system. Then what about the Hebrew part?
Right, so Daniel 8 through 12 switches back to Hebrew, and Hebrew is Israel's covenant language. The prophetic lens says when the language shifts, the focus zooms in dramatically. These later chapters describe how that future global system, the one outlined in the Aramaic section, will specifically impact the Holy Land, Israel, during the future tribulation period.
Okay, let me see if I got this structure right for the listener. It's like having two maps.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
The Aramaic part is the big satellite view, showing the whole world's political layout in the future, while the Hebrew part is the detailed street map focused just on Jerusalem and Israel.
Precisely. A global view, then a zoomed-in view on the Holy Land.
So based on that structure, Daniel 7, because it's in that Aramaic section, the prophetic lens says it must be about the shape of the coming global order, not just ancient history.
That's the interpretation, yes, making it potentially relevant to today's global power shifts. And Daniel 7 itself, the core vision, according to the prophetic lens, it shows four huge beasts coming up out of the Great Sea. Now, in this futurist view, the Great Sea isn't the Mediterranean. It symbolizes the churning sea of nations, the global population, the political chaos from which this final global power structure emerges.
Okay.
And crucially, this source stresses these four beasts are not one after the other, like Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, in some historical views. Instead, they represent four distinct future kingdoms, or maybe spheres of influence. They rise sequentially, yes, but then they coexist. They operate at the same time to form the complete end times political landscape. They're the parts of the final global system during the tribulation.
Four coexisting parts. Okay. And the prophetic lens singles out one of these beasts for our focus today, the bear. Right. Let's look at the text itself. Daniel chapter 7, verse 5. It says, "And suddenly another beast, a second like a bear, it was raised up on one side and had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, Arise, devour much flesh." Quite vivid imagery.
Very vivid. And according to the prophetic lens, this isn't just symbolic in a general way. It's quite specific. This source clearly interprets the bear as representing modern-day Russia.
Okay.
The detail about the three ribs in its mouth, that's understood to mean three specific military conquests this Russian bear will carry out.
Three specific conquests.
Yes. And the command it receives, arise, devour much flesh. Well, that points pretty directly to significant military aggression, expansion, taking territory, a major power move on the world stage.
Wow. Okay, now connect this back for us to the first article we discussed, the Assessing Imminence piece. Because this is where it seems to click together in a startling way. Remember, that analysis specifically mentioned Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania as being at high risk from potential Russian action. Geography, NATO membership.
Exactly. And from the perspective of the prophetic lens, this isn't just some random coincidence. It's potentially profound. This source sees those three Baltic states as the possible potential fulfillment of those three ribs grasped in the bear's mouth.
The actual ribs.
The potential fulfillment, yes. If Russia were to invade and take control of those three nations, the prophetic lens would see that as the literal bear taking the three ribs.
Okay.
And that act would be viewed as a huge signpost event in the end time sequence, indicating that the global system Daniel described is really taking its final shape, a massive shift for Europe and the world.
Okay, that interpretation leads to some serious implications, which brings us to this idea the prophetic lens calls prophetic prerequisite. How does this view interpret Russia's current situation, like the war in Ukraine, if this bear prophecy is its destiny?
This is a really critical logical step in the prophetic lens argument. Because this source holds the Daniel 7 prophecy as a certainty, it deduces something quite stark about Ukraine. Russia cannot suffer a decisive defeat there if it's going to fulfill this prophetic role as the bear with the ribs.
Why not?
It boils down to what they call prophetic necessity. Think about it. If the bear's prophesied destiny is to conquer three more nations, the ribs, and devour much flesh, it needs enormous military strength, political will, and the standing to do so.
Right, it needs to be powerful.
Exactly. A crushing defeat in Ukraine, like its army collapsing, major political instability, maybe even breaking apart, would likely cripple Russia for a generation. It would utterly remove its capacity to project power on that scale. It simply wouldn't be the powerful bear capable of taking the ribs.
So the prophecy wouldn't be fulfilled.
Correct. Therefore, according to the prophetic lens, for the prophecy to hold true, Russia must come out of the Ukraine conflict with its military power and its national ambitions fundamentally intact, maybe even positioned to act more aggressively later. In this very specific viewpoint, Ukraine becomes a kind of grim, necessary stage-setting event, a prelude to the main prophetic action involving the ribs.
Okay, so pulling the lens back again. What does this bear, representing Russia according to this source, mean for the whole sequence Daniel describes? The bigger global picture.
Well, it means that Daniel 7, in this interpretation from the prophetic lens, is fundamentally about setting up the global world system that defines the tribulation period. The four beasts the bear included aren't ancient history. They're seen as current or soon to emerge, powers, spheres of influence that exist simultaneously, and together make up the geopolitical reality of that future time.
So the system itself.
Yes. And the prophetic lens is very clear. The fulfillment of Daniel 7 is considered a certainty. The prophecy will happen. The question for us as observers right now, comparing the news analysis with this interpretation, is, are the specific events being discussed now, like a potential Russian move on the Baltics, are those the specific fulfillment? Is this the bear taking the ribs? We could be watching the stage being set very carefully for what the source sees as inevitable prophetic developments.
And we need to keep that language distinction clear too, right? The Aramaic versus Hebrew sections, as the prophetic lens explains it.
Absolutely crucial. Remember, Daniel 2 and 7, Aramaic, paint the global system. But the events tied specifically to the fourth beast, described later in Daniel 8 through 12 Hebrew, according to the prophetic lens, those later chapters are narrowly focused on Holy Land events. They describe Israel's specific experience during the tribulation, not the wider world events covered in Daniel 2 to 7.
Global architecture versus the local impact on Israel.
Exactly. That dual focus is key to the interpretation offered by the prophetic lens.
And one final point from this source. It suggests that while the emergence of the first three beasts, including the bear, might be happening or about to happen, it's the rise of the fourth beast that truly signals the start of the tribulation period itself.
Right. So watching how these powers emerge and interact becomes critically important from that perspective.
Wow. We've covered a lot of ground today, from these really pressing current headlines about Russia and Europe in the Assessing Imminence article, all the way back to Daniel 7, and this specific interpretation from the prophetic lens. We've explored how current discussions, especially around Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, could be seen through that particular lens as maybe setting a prophetic stage.
Yeah, and it leaves us with a really interesting question for you, the listener, as you watch world events unfold. How might, considering ancient texts like Daniel and interpretations like those from the prophetic lens, add another layer to your understanding? Could it change how you see things? What patterns maybe could you start to notice in the news, looking at it from both a contemporary geopolitical view and potentially this ancient framework? It's really about entertaining the possibility of a much larger narrative playing out.
It's a truly fascinating intersection, isn't it? Geopolitics, current events, and these ancient texts. Definitely something to think about. We really encourage you to keep watching these developments and maybe consider these different perspectives as you try to make sense of it all. Thanks so much for joining us on this deep dive. We look forward to the next one.